This week, the world was caught up with what transpired in another part of our world. The downing of the Malaysian Airlines flight captured the attention of people everywhere. In fact, it's interesting because the word that spread across all the social networks was this very thing: have you heard? Have you heard what happened? And for those who obviously recognize that we have been in Ukraine many different times by way of ministry, it even had a more profound effect because the question, have you heard? How could you not hear when something of that proportion transpires? And yet the reality is there are many things in life we don't hear the way God intended. There are many things in life that if we were just listening more carefully, we would understand what it is that God is trying to say to us, what it is he's trying to get across to us. So today, as you think about that for a moment, I got to thinking and pondering as we began this entire series on vision about how important it is that we can see with clarity what it is that God has for us. Because if we can't see with clarity what it is God's saying to us, then we miss the very essence of what life's really all about. Because when you hear something, watch this, when you see something, when you feel something, you begin to recognize in a different way how life works. And today we come to that point in Scripture where when you read the Old Testament, you realize something. It is at times the prophets are trying to get across a very clear message. And if there's any prophet who had an intent to convey hope to people who had suffered the consequences of their choices, it was Isaiah. Because Isaiah wanted to convey that there was hope, that there was meaning, that there was purpose, that God could do something in an amazing way if someone would just be willing to listen, if someone could just hear what it is that God was saying. As I was pondering our day today, I began to think about in my own mind what it would be like if all of us could hear exactly what it is God would have us do. Imagine what it'd be like. The person you met at the restaurant this week, you'd realize that greater than a tip, they needed the truth. The person you encountered at work whose life was crumbling around them, you could find a moment to encourage them, to move them forward. If all of us could just hear what it is God wants to say, the clutter of our culture, the challenges of our circumstances, the demands of our schedule, would all of a sudden be subdued by the reality that we've heard God speak. And when we hear him speak, something amazing happens. This week, interacting with somebody who was really struggling through something, and as they were processing through it, I asked the question, can you not hear from God? It's interesting. The person replied back, I've never heard from him. And I wrote back and I said, have you ever read your Bible? And the person said, yes, I've read my Bible, so you've heard from God. The issue is not what you've heard. The issue is applying what you've heard. And what happens oftentimes in life is that we allow everything around us to take away the focus of what it is he wants to say. And so today, it may be you're here, and here's where you're at. You need to hear it. You need to see it. And you need to feel it. And when you feel it, something will begin to happen. And what I want to say to you today is as we think about being in his house on this day, not by accident we gather together to be able to look inside of his word. Because today we find ourselves in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. The great prophet brings people to the point where comfort is the only thing they long for. They long for some aspect of being able to know that their life will be okay. And when you find yourself at the 40th chapter, the first question you ask is, how did the first 39 chapters unfold? And the first 39 chapters, Isaiah is saying to the people, in their own current circumstances, this is the fruit of your hands. This is the story of your life. This is what you are reaping because you sowed. These are the circumstances that have come your way because of your choice. They are the consequences that you are now encountering. But in chapter 39, if you take just a moment, because you have to see the tone that's set for what we're going to look at today, because today I want you to ponder two distinctive things about hearing from God. And I want you to think about them in light of this. The first one is this. Can you recall the last time you were amazed by something? I mean, where all of a sudden something grabbed you and you got, wow, that spoke to me. Happened to me this week. As a matter of fact, I was in the middle of a study on several different things, and all of a sudden I began to ponder this verse that hit me. And listen to what it says. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. I got to thinking about that verse. It's Psalm 71, verse 5. And I got to pondering. Let me tell you what I pondered. I can remember when my entire world was caving in around me, when I didn't have any hope as a teenager. My family was falling apart. Our world was chaotic. My dad was sick. We were going through all these things. And then all of a sudden, it was like God visited my heart and gave me hope. But what I want you to see today is this. As we find ourselves in the 39th chapter of Isaiah, here is Hezekiah. Hezekiah has been revered by what for all that he's done, by what he's accomplished. But what happens is, in a moment, he slips at the most critical moment, and he ends up costing him something he never dreamed possible. Look at, if you would, just for a second, Isaiah 39, verse 2. Hezekiah was pleased and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious oil, and his whole armory, and all that was found in his treasury. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" And you got to stop there and ask yourself this question. If God shows up, what does he see in our houses? What does he see? Look on. Notice what happened. So Hezekiah answered, verse 4, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left." Here's what I want you to see. And I want you to understand this in light of what we're going to look at today. You better be careful what you show and who you reveal yourself to. Because the reality is your heart belongs to him. And what happens with Hezekiah is this. Hezekiah, even if you look on in the last part of that chapter, he even misinterprets what transpires here. Here's the reality. The reality is that Hezekiah made a foolish choice to show what was entrusted to him and other kings before him to people who ultimately would sweep in and take every bit of it away from him. And here's what I want you to see. If you're a friend with the world, someday it will sweep in as well and take everything away from you. There is no greater heartache in my life today than to realize that someone I watched as a child made a choice in another part of our country, made a choice to allow their life to be defined by what they wanted instead of what God wanted. And it will cost that person everything they've ever had in life. And blindly, they believe that it's okay. And what I want you to see today is this. It's never okay to miss God's best because you choose what you want instead of what God wants. And so when you get to chapter 40, all of a sudden, something begins to happen. And what I want you to see today is a principle that perhaps you will not grasp completely today, but over time you will. Because when you look at this passage, something begins to happen. All of a sudden, Isaiah begins to give them hope against all of the circumstances that they have encountered in 39 chapters. And here's what I want you to see about hope. God often uses the most unlikely, those things we could never imagine, to do the most amazing in order to accomplish the most significant so that he will receive all of the glory. And what you're going to see in the 40th chapter is that everything that Isaiah writes from the 40th chapter on is to take and help them understand this principle, that God will take the most unusual and sometimes unsuspecting issues and do the most profound thing with it. And that profound work will center itself in the significance of who God is so that ultimately great glory will come to God. And what I want you to see today is this. You may have a circumstance you don't understand that seems minute and irrelevant. It seems to come at you in a way you never grasped. But all of a sudden, you're at church today, and you go, wait a minute. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Maybe this is a moment where God wants to take that unusual issue, that pain, that heartache, that difficulty, that challenge, that blessing. And the truth of the matter is, by the way, so you'll know, as much as you encounter difficulty, you also encounter blessings. There are moments when blessings come at you, and those blessings are there to direct you towards him. And so today, as we look inside of this text, I want you to see three distinctive and powerful things. The first thing I want you to see is the very distinguishable voice that comes from God. Because what happens is there's something that transpires here. This voice of victory is not a voice that's like any other voice. It's like the voice that when you hear it, you know who they are. When you hear that voice, when I hear the voice of any of my children, I know exactly who it is quickly. And it's the same way. Here is where we find that they begin to hear a voice. In fact, look at it with me if you would. And today I want to take this chapter, and I only want to segment in three pieces of the chapter to put together a beautiful picture for you about how God works. So I want you to kind of grasp this in light of how God wants to speak to you, because what you may see is this. He's trying to say something to you. You just got to listen. You have to listen to what it is he's trying to convey. And here what happens in verse 3, if you'll notice, what happens? Isaiah records, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Notice verse 5, this, you can't miss this, is key to this chapter. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, notice this, call out. Then I answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of the Lord, the word of our God, stands forever. Stop and get a handle on what he's really saying here. There is this distinguishable voice that grabs hold and speaks to us, that gives clarity in the midst of our confusion, that gives direction when we need God to speak to us in a very clear way. And what happens here is he points out some amazing thing. He says, first of all, clear this pathway out. Take what's rugged and make it straight. I want you to see this in light of how God works, because there are three things you got to think about as you look at this particular passage. The first thing is this, you got to think about where you're going in life. Because if you're not going where God wants you to go, then you're never going to experience what he intended to take you to. In fact, for example, when you think about it for a moment, if you get on the wrong highway, you're never going to arrive at the right destination. And what transpires here is this. Isaiah says, clear a path in the wilderness. In other words, it may not seem like the right place to be, but clear that path out because something amazing is going to happen. What is rough, smooth it out. I mean, apply it to your own life. Imagine what it'd be like today if all of a sudden you realize something. God has a road for you. It's the highway of holiness. It's a road that no one else gets on unless they are willing to follow him. And that road he defines for you, you got to think about where you're going, but not just where you're going. Because where you go in life does direct you a certain way, but it's because you're listening to the right voice. And if you look on in verse 5, you'll notice, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And when you start looking, he says, when you start looking, all flesh you see it together, for the mouth of the Lord will speak. That word revealed there, what you see there is so absolutely essential. Because what he's really saying is, what you look at in life will cause you to either hear with clarity or not. See, if you're looking at the wrong thing, just a few months ago, a guy ran into the back of my car out on 285. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic, boom, my car, and when he hit me, my first thought was, how could you do that? That was my first thought. My second thought was, I hope he has insurance. My third thought was totally different. Because when I got out, I saw in the eyes of that young man fear. And it's interesting. I said to him, why hit my car? Why'd you hit my car? He said, because I was looking over there at what was happening on the other side. And I looked at him, I said, you're going to learn a great lesson today. Because when you're looking the wrong way, you're always going to run into things. When you're looking the wrong way, you're always going to miss what it is God has for you. And what I want to encourage you today is think about this. When you look at your own life and where you are, be careful where you go and be careful what you look at, because it will define your whole story. There's a third thing you see here, because he gets to the bottom line. In fact, he gets to the punchline. If you look at it, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What you see here is this. Which way you go, what you look at, and what you read helps you hear the voice that will direct your steps. And what you discover very quickly is, we can read all kinds of things and forget to read this. We can read all kinds of books and wonder, how do we do this? How do we solve that? In fact, let me just say this to you. In the how-to section of any Barnes & Noble or any other place, there's only one book that'll answer every how-to in life. It's this book. It directs every step. It challenges every heart. And so today, I want you to think about it. Here are the people. And all of a sudden, Isaiah, in verse 1, you'll notice verse 1, he says something very unique, because in verse 1, he says, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. And here's what I want you to say. Just when you think you've hit a wall you can't get past, there is a God of all comfort who comes and begins to speak to you. And he begins to speak to you with clarity, because he begins to help you understand something. That what he's trying to show you, no one can thwart. It is God's best for your life. It is something that's centered in his purpose. It's revealed by his plan. It's prioritized by your openness to hearing him speak. And so today, think about it for a second. You're sitting in church and all of a sudden you begin to distinguish a voice. And it is God saying to you, do this. And you may say, I'm not sure I want to do that. Listen carefully, because it may be he's going to use that to move your life forward. Look on over, if you would, because look what happened in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. When you read this, you realize something. That all of a sudden, what is Isaiah trying to do? He's trying to help them grasp something. If you see God as small, you miss life. But if you see God as one who even sees the nations as a drop in a bucket, then you realize he can fix anything. And that problem you think can't be fixed, he can fix it. He can resolve it. And what Isaiah tries to do here is open their hearts up. And then he comes to not just an awareness of their voice, but he comes now to the place where he wants to make sure they see God the right way. And the second thing I want you to see today, as you think about your own journey of faith, is the incomparable view of God that he intends for us to have. How God intends for us to see him. Because you saw what he asked the question there. Who is like our God? Who would ever grasp that? And what I want you to see is this. When you see God in an incomparable way, you begin to understand that he works an extraordinary task, the Bible says, in a way we never dreamed possible. Look at it with me if you would. Because in verse 18, he asked the question, to whom then will you liken God? In other words, if you think God is so small, who are you going to liken him to? Look on. Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it. A goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skilled craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. And then he comes to the most important question that we ask as we began this message today. Verse 21, do you not know, have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. When you see this, you realize he talks about idols. He's really trying to say two things to us about how we view God, and it's this. The first thing is this. Substance should always take precedence over image. Because what he says here is people craft these idols and think, well, if I have this idol and that idol, and if you go across the world, you will find all kinds of idols, all crafted by man. And what Isaiah says here is the reality is the substance of the God who can blow a whisper and make it all disappear. That is the essence of the amazing God we have. That's how you ought to see him. And what I want you to see is this, as you think about your own life, the same God who numbered your days knows your name. And the same God who ordered your steps is directing your heart. And what he has for you is not for you to match up to somebody's image that somebody else has of who you are. It is that he would enthrone inside of your life and cause you to see him as the answer to every issue, as the peace that passes understanding, as the joy that's incomparable in any way to anything else you could have, as the love that you always long for that's unconditional and powerful. He wants you to see him in a way that has substance to it, that has meaning. I'll never forget, it's been a few years ago, I was invited to a dinner, and it's one of those dinners where people were too healthy at the dinner. You've probably been to one of those. The portions were too small. The salt was absent. The flavor had left 2 years before. And I'll never forget sitting at that meal. Even the dessert was small. Let me say this. If you're going to serve dessert, cut that pie big. All right? Don't cut it in some little small piece that you go, wow, that's really good. I just tasted it. I'll never forget sitting at that dinner. And I sat there thinking, surely there's more. You ever had that feeling? Surely there's more. I mean, you got to be kidding. Drag it out here. Drag it out. Because I want to experience more. And here's what I want you to see. The people of God had been caught up in the foo-foo that never filled them up. So much so that they would rather have allowed those idols to take control. And all of a sudden, God says, you're going to comfort them because here's what I have hope for them. And let me tell you what the 40th through the 66th chapter of Isaiah do? They bring Jesus to the forefront of every person's life because he becomes the substance by which the 53rd chapter is written. He becomes the substance but the 66th chapter is connected to. And what you see is in this particular chapter, in chapter 40, when they make this transition, that they move from image to substance. He says, you know what? You don't need any more idols. You don't need any more idols. I'll never forget walking out of that dinner. And I don't know if this ever happened to you. Have you ever been one of those like that? When you got done, even though you did eat what they gave you, you were hungrier than when you came in? See, there are some people in here that understand this, all right? Thank God. I'll never forget going out. And you know what I did? I went Chick-fil-A. I ordered a sandwich. I ordered a large waffle fry. I ordered a peach shake. I ordered, now you know what time of the year it was. I ordered a big thing of tea. And I sat there thinking, now this is a meal. May not be as healthy as it needs to be, but I will say this. That ice cream's ordained. I believe that it can take you right where you need to go. All right? I'm kidding. But the truth is, I had to have something to fill me up because what they gave me did not satisfy my body. Let me tell you what God wants to say to you today as you think about your own life. The way he fills you up is the most amazing and powerful and significant thing you could ever imagine. He meets you at the point of your need. He hears the cry of your heart. And he fills you up with substance, not just some image. He is not some God far off out there who doesn't know who you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He knows what you're about. Whenever I hold grandbabies, I always think about how God knew. God knew before they would ever come in our world, they'd be here one day. And when I'm holding them, in fact, my Facebook page has become a photographic journey with these little babies because they mean so much to me. But what I discover is when you hold them, there's substance there. There's substance. One of them can talk, one can't. Well, one can talk, she just cries. But the other one talks. And it's amazing what will come out of that mouth. Words that are profound and significant. Substance. Because her mom and dad are teaching her things that matter. Because listen carefully. If you can teach your kid to play, you better teach them to pray. If you teach your kid how to live, you better show them what living is really all about. If you teach your kid that Sunday, that soccer is just as important as Jesus, someday your heart will break in ways you never dreamed possible. This is God's day. And we may live in a culture that's trying to take this day away, but as his people, the substance of a day set apart by him cannot lose its significance, cannot lose its power. And I say to all of our young families, do not let the pressure of a wimpy coach who thinks they need to practice on Sunday morning get in the way of your child learning that Jesus loves them. This they will know, for the Bible tells them so. Do not let it happen, or someday when I'm old and grayer, you'll come to me and say, I heard you say it, I heard it, but it was only an image, it was not substance, and as a result, look what I have now. And let me just say this to you without reservation. I can validate that principle after 37 years. When somebody chooses to put something in front of God, whatever it is, when they choose to put something in front of God, you always suffer a consequence. And what Isaiah was trying to say was, don't get that kind of mindset. But he also says one other thing here I don't want you to miss, because when you look at the latter part of this, he gets in to start asking this question, do you not know, have you not heard? Verse 21, has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Look at verse 28, because he brings it back up again. And notice what he says, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord of the creation, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. I mean, what I want you to see today is this, and it's you can't miss this because you would if you're not careful. Power always conquers perception. In other words, we may see something a certain way, but the power of God is the key to it. Because when I see God at work, and I see the power of his hand, and I realize that I don't have to rest on my perception. I don't have to rest on thinking, hey, will that happen or not? What will transpire there? Our son is having some serious pain issues in his abdomen. Serious pain issues. He wrote me before church today and said, Dad, pray for me. Yeah, I didn't sleep all night. The pain is unbearable. They can't find a source or a solution. And I read the words to Cindy before we left our house. And I was thinking about what I was going to be preaching about today. Because I'm going to tell you, when you see God the way you should, your perception won't be he'll have to live with it. Your perception will be the power of God can rest on him and fix that. You'll begin to live that way. And so today, numerous times, even when we were singing certain songs, I was thinking about God, I want to ask you to do something miraculous. I want your power to be shown. Because listen carefully, my son stood on the edge of death based on his own choice. He chose to come back to God. He chose to turn his heart towards God. And I want him to see that that decision he made was better than any alcohol, better than any drug, better than any rebellion, better than any disobedience. I want him to see that there is a God who knew he would walk down that wrong valley. And he took those rough things and made them smooth. There is substance to our God, and there is power in his name. So first of all, there's this voice that Isaiah wants them to hear, but there's also this view that he wants them to see. And then he comes to the final thing I want you to see as we wrap together this whole message. Because when you get the latter part of this text, all of a sudden, Jesus becomes the answer. And I want you to see the matchless strength of Jesus. I want you to see that there is a name above every name. And in his name, we can see great things happen. Look at it with me if you would. Beginning in verse 25 and following. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them by name. He calls all them by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Notice this line. Not one of them is missing. And I want you to get this down, and I don't want you to miss this, because when it comes to the strength of who Jesus is, listen, and please walk out of church thinking about this. If he can name the stars in the sky, he can know your name. If he can name, and the Bible says not one of them missing, not one of them missing. I want you to walk out of church going, he knows your name. He knows what choices you'll make. He loves you unconditionally, and he wants you to see him as so powerful that he would be more important than anything else. The reality is, you know what? When it comes to Jesus, he's always the best. He'll meet you, listen carefully, he'll meet you at the most despairing moment of your life, and he'll give you something sweet. He'll give you his name. He'll give you his promises. He'll give you his presence. He'll change your life forever. When I think about being in the Lord's house on this day, there's nothing more fantastic than knowing that if he could name those stars, he knows your name. The one thing I want you to see before we finish is this. In verse 29, notice how he writes, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What I want you to see as we finish this message is this, that God has the capacity to transform any of our weaknesses by his strength. And so you may be here and you're going, you know what, I'm just trying to figure out how this all works, but I feel so overwhelmed. Let him take your weakness and transform it with the wisdom that comes from on high. That word weary there has to do with being limited. And what Isaiah says is this, when Jesus is everything, when his strength is matchless, you're not going to get weary. Why do you think in Hebrews it says this, do not grow weary while doing, for in due time, and this is the day of due time for us. I ask you, as you think about that, a simple and yet profound question today, because here's what you discover. What you hear, what you see, what you feel will direct you where he wants you to go. And maybe you're here and you realize God's saying to you, it's time to come home. You hear it, you see it by the joy you've encountered by others, and you feel it, because the one who never lets you go weary is waiting on you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that greater than anything we could ever imagine, it is the matchless name of Jesus, that every knee will someday bow. And so on this day, we acknowledge the power of your word that grabs hold of us, strengthens us, speaks to us. Lord, do something profound in your house on this day. Let someone walk out of here realizing that they have heard you speak. And if there's someone here, Lord, who needs to have a relationship with you, help them understand this is the way, that you are the way, that you are the truth, you are the life. Lord, we ask you to move in our midst, to touch hearts and lives. And may this be a day where someone walks out of here realizing the question is not, have you not heard? The question is, have you heard and have you acted on it? Those are the questions, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.